Well, it's been truly good to be in this house tonight.
Amen.
The song service was a very encouraging and enriching moment for me. I love hymn singing. And to me, there is not a sweeter moment than when we're singing the hymns of praise unto God, and God gets to liking it. Have you ever noticed that when the Lord likes it, He shows up?
Amen.
And when He shows up, it's wonderful, isn't it? And I tell you, we sang from I Feel Like Traveling On to Farther Along to It Is Well With My Soul. And I have been traveling the Christian walk now for about 41 years. And I'm not sorry that I started it. I'm glad the Lord found me when He did. I'm glad that He invited me to participate in the journey, and not only to participate in the journey, but I'm glad that a lot of things that I did not know or did not understand when I began.
I'm going to do something real quick. I hate to interrupt you.
That's
okay.
Fine.
We stream to sermon audio, and we stream to Facebook, and then we just recently started streaming to YouTube. A lot of you know that we have I have an adversary out there in the internet, okay? And I was just being told that he is on the live stream there on YouTube, and he is he's saying some pretty rotten things about me and this church, okay? And I want you to know, okay, that this church loves you, and we pray for you, and we are asking God that He would change you and soften your heart.
Yes.
And we are not ever going to hate you. And we're never going to say anything about you. All we're going to do from here until God takes us out of here is love you. And we're going to pray for you tonight. Okay?
Yes.
Go ahead, Brother Mike.
Bless you, Brother Mike. And I was saying that as I've begun this journey and traveling it, there was a lot of things that I had fears about and uncertainties about. But I have walked with the Lord far enough that it is true. The farther along we go, the more we'll know all about it. And won't it be sweet when we arrive in glory and our Savior answers all of those things that we've never understood? He will answer them one day. Aren't you glad? And I really, really liked it when we sang, "It is well with my soul." Because when we sung that, I looked in and asked myself the question, "Is it, Lord, really well with my soul?" And God reminded me that if your name is written in the book of life, rejoice. That's something to rejoice about, isn't it? And He is a great God. Do you agree tonight? He is truly a great God. And if there is not, if He cannot make your heart sing, nothing can. I'd rather sing for Jesus than anything I know. And I just want to tell you tonight that if you live for Jesus, you'll suffer persecution. The Bible says, "Yea, the godly shall suffer persecution." And when men persecute you and say all manner of evil against you, rejoice, Jesus said, because great is your reward in heaven. And I appreciate what Brother Mike just said, and I hope the dear one that has said all the things that he said unkindly heard what the pastor said, and I can vouch that he meant every word of it. He means what he says, that he this church and he will love you. And that's what we do as Christians. In spite of the hatred that oftentimes is vented against us, we have to show the love of Christ in those moments of time. We're human like anybody else. It's not easy, but it's only by the grace of God, folks, that we can do those things. Amen? Boy, it's been a great time in the Lord here, and I tell you, I have enjoyed myself with you folks. Brother Mike called and said we need revival, and I believe you all been blessing to me, and I've been revived coming among you, so thank you for being refreshing to my soul. I'll ask you to be turning in your Bibles tonight to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And In a moment, I will ask you to stand with us, if you would, in reverence to God's Word. But we want to ask you to continue to pray for us as we continue to travel. I deeply appreciate the love of this church and the financial help that you provide to us. And if it were not for churches like Bethel and Christian people like yourselves who help ministries like ours, we could not continue going down the road preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you pray with us because we realize and feel that we represent you wherever we go because you're a partner with us in the ministry. And whatever fruit the Lord allows us to have through those that get saved or get right with God counts as fruit with your church and your ministry because you help us. And we couldn't do that without your help. So I mean this when I tell you this out of the deep of my heart. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate the support and the help that you give us every month. And God bless you for that. And we pray for you on a day-to-day basis that God continues to give you increase and continues to bless. We were here back in the early summer, and I remember standing out there near the door and having such a wonderful time, Brother Jimmy Carmichael. And he was such a joy to me that day. And just a few short days after that, I was overwhelmed when I read of what happened. Wasn't overwhelmed so much that he wasn't in the right place. I knew where Brother Jimmy went. But it was just such a shock. And it is when we know people and we get acquainted with people. And I know that over this last year that some of your precious ones have moved away from this land to a far better land. But won't it be great to meet them again?
Amen.
And never be separated again. Hallelujah. That's great. Isn't it good to know that we'll get together with them again? All right, I think I've got my nerves set a little bit. Would you stand with us tonight, please? Preacher, you've been preaching all these years and you get nervous. I sure do. And if I didn't take my time to relax a little bit and catch myself, I could thread a sewing machine into running. That's pretty nervous, isn't it? 1 Peter chapter 2, let me begin at verse 1, read down through verse number 9. The apostle writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming is unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded.
Amen.
Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Would you join me in prayer? I praise you tonight, Heavenly Father, for these words of life. Thy word is spirit and it's life unto us. And God, we rejoice when we read these passages of Scripture. Our Savior is a living stone. And we tonight, who have come to know Him as our Savior and have experienced the spiritual birth, are lively stones, a spiritual house that is built up to offer to you sacrifices holy and acceptable in your sight. God, tonight we rejoice at the blessed joy that you brought to our soul as we worshiped in the song service tonight. And I do praise you tonight. I praise you, God, that, Father, you have written our names in the book of life in heaven. Not because that we've been a Baptist, But because we've trusted and asked Jesus to forgive us of our sins, and we have invited Jesus Christ into our life to be our Lord and Savior, we didn't find You, God. You found us. We hadn't chosen You, but You chose us. And Father, You ordained us to bring forth fruit unto Your glory and unto Your honor. I'm so thankful for the passage that said that You would in no wise cast us out. I'm grateful tonight that I have the privilege to go wherever You send me and announce to people and remind people there's a God that loves them, who even while they were yet sinners, Christ died for them and was buried and rose again, that whosoever believeth in Him, they should not perish, but they will have and can have everlasting and eternal life. Father, tonight I pray that You'll help this one that is saying things, God, that maybe he doesn't even understand what he's saying. Maybe, God, he doesn't even realize the hurt that it can cause. But I pray that the Holy Spirit would just touch his life in some way. I pray, God, that You would bring him to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Even Paul the Apostle was a blasphemer. Paul was an injurious man for so many years when he was called Saul of Tarsus. But he said, I did those things ignorantly. But once he come to know You in the free pardon of sin, God, he realized how foolishly he had been while he was living under the influence and power of sin. So tonight, have mercy upon that one. And let the love of Jesus Christ continue to flow out of Pastor Mike and from this church, God, not only for him, but for all who has such anger and bitterness in their heart. Let this ministry continue to glorify Your name, and let there be many souls added into the kingdom of God through the preaching and teaching of the precious Word of God. Thank You for the love and support the church gives us and the help that they give us. Now help me to preach tonight, I pray. Hide me in the shadow of the cross. Let the glories of heaven just fall upon us tonight. Let the Word of God flow freely from our mouths tonight. And God, let it enrich the heart of Your children and bless souls here and save the lost and reclaim the backslidden of heart. And when we leave this house, may we be able to say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. It already has been good to be here, but I pray that we can even say that it's been good through the preaching hour. And we'll praise You for it, and we'll bless Your name for it. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, and God's children said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Often when you read the text of the Word of God, and you hear the word wherefore or therefore, it is referring to something that has either been said or that is about to be said. And the wherefore in verse number 1 of my text is a reference back to what Peter has already written unto you and I in chapter 1. If you read chapter 1, you'll see clearly that Peter is writing to those strangers, he said, that are scattered throughout Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, and in those regions. And the reason that he refers to them as strangers tonight is because if I come into a place where I am an unknown person, I am a stranger in that particular setting. When I went to the land of Kenya the first time, I was a stranger in the land to all of the people that I became acquainted with. But I'm not a stranger to them anymore, because now we have had acquaintanceship and we've had fellowship and relationship, and therefore I'm no more a stranger. But in this world, Christians, we are strangers. We are sojourners. We're just here for a little while, and someday our journey will be over, and we're going home to a land where we will not be strangers. Peter was writing to the elect as well, he said in verse 2. And the elect are the chosen, the called, the saved of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I like what Peter said. He blessed the Lord because he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know what makes our singing able to sing happily tonight? Is we're singing to a living one. We're singing not to one that died on the cross and was buried in a tomb and does not live anymore, but he is alive, and he has shown himself alive with many infallible proofs. And tonight he sits on the right hand hand of His Holy Father. And there He makes intercession for me and for you. And He's doing His mediatorial work. He went on to say that He has an inheritance for you and I that is incorruptible, that fades not away, and it's already reserved in heaven for you. Sometimes as I travel, I have to make reservation in places to stay. And when I give my reservation, I guarantee it with a credit card. When I arrive, I can tell them my name, and they've got my name on the books, and it's already paid for by the credit card, and they can invite me to come in and stay. On October the 25th, 1971, I went into a service that night, and I did not have my name on the register in heaven. If I would have tried to check in at heaven before the altar service of that evening, I would not have been on the roll of heaven. But before the service was over that night, the sweet Holy Spirit of God came to where I was in my lost condition and called me by name and invited me to come and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I was a young boy fearful that I could not live for Him and that I would fail Him and that I would let Him down. I remember my little mother slipped to the side of me and she said these words, "Today if you should hear His voice," and she put an emphasis on His voice because I'd heard her say numbers of times, "The hour is coming when the dead or the unsaved will hear the voice of Christ and they that hear shall live." And she said, "If you hear His voice, you should answer His call to your life." And for some reason or other, her words gave me the strength I needed to slip out, and I made my way to an altar. I did not even worry about whether the service was going on or not. I did not even realize that it had already closed. But while folks was leaving, I was fixing to get on the roll of heaven. I knelt at that altar. I remember praying this simple prayer, "God, I'm sorry for what I've been and for what I've done. I'm afraid that I'll fail You. I don't want to fail You, but I do want to serve You and live for You." And immediately the burden that was on my heart was lifted, and the joy of my soul began to feel free. And from that day unto this day, I have been a joyful, happy Christian to know that God has given me a place in heaven where that one day I can check in. I am kept tonight by the power of God through faith. That is tonight the faith that God has given me and taught me in His Word. It is a gift from Him. And can I tell you tonight, it's faith that we're kept by through the power of God. I'm not kept by baptism. I'm not kept by church membership. I'm not kept by my works tonight, but I'm kept by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power of His Holy Spirit has brought me into the family of God. And there's trials and tests and manifold things that comes upon our faith. But I understand tonight that Peter writes to us that the trial of our faith is much more precious than gold that be tried with fire, that it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. My friend, can I tell you, God's got His hand on the thermostat, and no matter how difficult the test becomes, and no matter how hot the trial gets, the Lord knows how much you can bear and how much you can take. And I promise you tonight, He'll not put more on you than you can stand. But my friend, God allows you to go through those tests and through those trials that your faith might appear unto honor and praise and glory at the appearing of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have never seen Him, but yet we rejoice. I rejoiced while we sang tonight. I've never seen Him, but I felt like I could almost see Him tonight. I've never heard Him like I hear You, but I felt as though He was saying things to me tonight as we sang. Often as I've walked with Him through life, I've felt His presence and felt His nearness. I felt Him in the middle of the night as He woke me up, and He's drawn not only nigh to me, but He's stirred me from within. Aren't you glad for the stirrings of the Holy Ghost that's inside of you, friend? Aren't you glad when He wakes you up in the middle of the night and you've got a song in your heart? I've learned that when He wakes you up with a song, He's wanting you to sing to Him. And I like to sing to Him in the middle of the night. Sometimes I've had Him to wake me in the night and He wanted to talk to me. And I've got down and prayed with Him and talked to Him. And then I've asked Him, "Lord, I know You want to say something to Him. To me, when I get up, show me what it is." And all what He has shown me sometimes when I pick up this blessed book after I pray to Him in the middle of the night. I want to tell you tonight, I don't know, I'm overwhelmed with words tonight to tell you how good God really is. But I want you to consider something tonight. Peter said in verse 13, gird up the loins of your mind. And he said, be sober and hope unto the end for the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It really blessed me, Brother Mike, tonight when you started with the words, the day of the Lord. Oh, the day of the Lord. You know what it is? The day of the Lord is the coming of the Lord. Church, He's coming back. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again. We need to get excited about that tonight. We need to be happy about that tonight. The world needs to see us living in victory tonight, not in defeat. Oh yes, I have my troubles, I have my sorrows, I have my moments of difficulty, but never am I a defeated Christian tonight. Paul said that I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ that loved me. He causes me always to triumph. And you know why I'm going to triumph? Because one of these days I'm leaving here, and the grace of God is going to reveal to me my eternal home, my eternal glory. I'm going to see all those blessed saints that I love that have already gone on ahead of us. And so Peter comes down and he says, to you that have purified your hearts through the Spirit unto unfeigned love, you were born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed. And because you've had this experience, look at what he said in the text that I read and you're hearing tonight. Wherefore, because of all of these things, I'll tell you, there's enough in chapter 1 that I've already said to you tonight that's already stirred me up, that makes me want to stay right there and park a while and preach there a while. But that's not what God's laid on my heart tonight. But because of all those things, He says to you and I, let's lay aside the malice, let's lay aside the guile, let's lay aside the hypocrisies, let's lay aside the evil speakings, and desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby and taste and see that the Lord is good. I'll tell you, I have some things that I really like, and my wife can tell you, I really like a good chocolate cake. I really like good chocolate ice cream. I really like double stuffed Oreo vanilla cookies. Man, I'm making myself hungry tonight. You understand, don't you, why I'm a diabetic? All these sweet things that I love. But I'm telling you, I get them things in my mouth and I get a taste of them, and I ain't got no quitting sense. But I tasted the Lord, and I can't get over Him. I don't want to get over Him tonight. I've tasted how good He is and how gracious He is, how much He makes my soul to rejoice. I'll tell you tonight, church, the ills of our world could be healed if folks could really taste of God and see how good the Lord Jesus Christ really is. So tonight, Peter is writing to you and I to taste and see how gracious God is. Now let me get into the text of what I want to preach. I'm preaching to you tonight that Jesus is a precious stone. Now, some of you ladies would love it if your husband would buy you one of the finest diamonds that you could ever have. And you would look at that and you'd say, wow, what a glorious, beautiful stone that is. I never have been able to buy my wife very much in the way of expensive diamonds. I've looked at some that I'd like to be able to give her, but I want to tell you, I just don't have the money to do it. But one day I met a stone. One day I found a rock that was far greater than any diamond that you'll find in earth, and far greater than any ruby that's ever been on the earth. And that stone is called the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so tonight you say, well, preacher, that's kind of a crude description of Christ to call Him a living stone. That's what Peter called Him tonight. But listen to me tonight. It was a description that the Jews understood, and they, because they placed much in their religion upon their magnificent temple. It was a temple built out of stone. And remember, they showed Christ the stones of the temple, the building of the temple. And you remember, Jesus said, the day is coming when there will not be one stone here left upon another. And boy, that grabbed their attention. They wondered, when shall such a day be that not one stone shall be left upon another? And then the fact of Jesus being referred to as a stone, they understood the prophetical style of that, of the Messiah being called a stone, because the prophet Isaiah said this, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believeth, Isaiah said, shall not make haste. I found out. And interesting that over in the book of Isaiah that he said they'll not make haste, meaning they don't have to hurriedly run here or run there and to and fro trying to figure out who he is and what he is and whether he's real. Them that find him and are built upon him learn that there's no other foundation upon which a man can be built but the Lord Jesus Christ. They find out that he is a true stone because he's been tried. They find out he's a sure foundation, someone that you can depend on and count on. And no matter what comes, he'll be there forever and forever. And so we don't have to make haste. But here Peter says, neither are they confounded. You're not going to be under confusion when you know Jesus. That's why we need to be sure we get acquainted with who he is and find this real experience. I would tonight that everybody that says they're Christian would just make it their determination to ask God, you show me when it happened. You show me when I really got it. You show me that I really did get it. And if I really did get it, just give me a double dose more of it. And put it on me so much, God, that I just can't get over it. And set such a glow upon my life that it will impact and it will influence other people's lives. How many of you know tonight that salt changes what it comes in contact with? And you and I ought to make an impact upon people's lives. Amen. I'm about to preach myself happy tonight. Thank the Lord. But listen, the metaphorical description of Jesus Christ is to denote his invincible strength and his everlasting duration, and to teach his servants that he is their protection and their security, the foundation upon which they are built. I'm not depending on a denomination tonight. While please don't misunderstand me, I'm not opposed to my denomination, but it's not a denomination that saved me tonight. It's my Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm not dependent upon a work that I do, because it's not by works that we're saved, but it's by the grace of God. And he's my security. Somebody once said to me, well, you guys in the Free Will Baptist, you don't have any security because you're always worried about losing your salvation. I said, no. My friend, you need to follow me in the Word of God and listen to me. Peter said to make your calling and your election sure and you'll never fall. I'm not worried about falling. I know that he's elected me. I know I've gotten acquainted with him. I know what he is in my life. I'm like the Apostle Paul who said, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I said, I do believe in eternal security. Oh, it shocked him. He said, well, how so? I said, the difference in you and me, perhaps you believe in unconditional eternal security. I believe in conditional eternal security. And he said, I've never heard of such a thing. I said, well, the unconditional is explained that no matter what you do, you can do anything and it's okay. And that's not so according to the Bible. But I said, condition is this, by grace am I saved through faith, and that not of myself. It is a gift of God. I didn't have natural faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I heard the Word of God preached. It shined the light of the glory of Jesus Christ in my soul. It woke me up to who He was, and I was born again by His Spirit. That faith has grown as I've studied His Word, and I've learned of Him and found that He is meek and lowly, and that His yoke is easy and His burden is light in my soul. And my faith has grown in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm kept by His power, not by anything I do, but I'm kept by His power. God don't have to see any work in my life to know if I've got faith. He knows what I believe. He knows what I stand for. But the world around me cannot know what I believe except that they see my works. You cannot know whether I'm a good tree unless you examine my fruit. Jesus said a good tree can't produce corrupt fruit, and a corrupt tree cannot produce good fruit. Therefore Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord's going to enter heaven, but only they that do the will of my Father. Amen. And you cannot know the will of the Father without knowing the Word of the Father. Amen. And you must get in the Word of the Father to learn the will of the Father. And you ought to be glad to get in it, because it'll delight your soul and it'll thrill you. And so I said, I'm conditionally secure because in faith I'm kept. By faith I'm kept. Walking in faith I'm kept. I'll tell you this, faith will never fail you if you'll just put your trust in thus saith the Word of God. When all of hell rages against you, how many of you are glad tonight that Jesus Christ is the power over it all? Praise His holy name. So listen to me tonight. There are four things in the text that I want to try to lay upon your heart. Number one, He is the chosen stone, according to verse number 4. to whom coming, Peter said, as unto a living stone, disallowed of men, but chosen, notice this, of God. The reputation and the respect that He, our Lord Jesus, has with God and man are very different. He is disallowed of men, but rejected by His own countrymen, the Jews, and by the generality of mankind. They examined Him fully and then turned their backs on Him. But that didn't change the fact that He was chosen of God. What does it mean to be chosen? The word chosen is used in verse 4, but in verse 6, the writer says He's the elect. And chosen and elect come from the same word. That means that God chose to separate Him and foreordain His only Son from the foundation of the world, that He Himself would be the only foundation of the church. The church is the body of Christ. You and I that are born by the Spirit of God into salvation are born into the body of Christ. I didn't get into the body of Christ by deciding to join the church membership. I didn't get into the body of Christ by deciding to be baptized. But I was born into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. For it's by the Holy Ghost that we are baptized into the body of Jesus Christ. And be it Baptist or be it Methodist or whatever denomination, if it's fundamental and you preach Jesus Christ, you must be born of His Spirit and be baptized into His body, which is the fellowship of all the saints, the invisible body of Christ that will one day gather in heaven. The visible form of that body is the local church that our communities look upon and they see it. But I have brothers and sisters in this body all over the world, and someday we're going to meet around the throne of God. What a day that's going to be. Now listen, God not only chose Him to be the foundation of the church and said He was precious, but God chose Him to be the Lord of the universe. And it doesn't make any difference how raging the devil becomes, Jesus is still Lord of this universe. And He is the head of the church. It's not the Pope, and it's not the preacher or pastor that is the head of the church, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the only Savior of all peoples of the world. There is no other name given among men, the Scripture says, whereby a man must be saved, but at the name of Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus said in the 10th chapter of John that if any man climbs up some other way, trying to enter into the sheepfold, the same is a thief and a robber. How are you trying to get to heaven tonight? You're trying to get there on your works, on your own merits, you'll never make it. You trying to get there through baptism, you'll never make it. You trying to get there through studying a church catechism and some person in the ministry trying to tell you that you got to do these things and don't do these things and make yourself a good person through asceticism or things you add to yourself, you'll never make it. But if you'll just recognize that you've sinned and come short of the glory of God, and you'll come to God and agree with God, I'm a sinner and I need to be saved, I want to be saved, I'm asking You to save me, and you open your heart door and invite Christ to come in, you will be saved. That's what the Bible says. And He has also been chosen to be the judge of the world. Amaze me tonight, all the people that spew blasphemy out of their mouth against Christ and against the people of Christ. And they don't even realize there's a day coming when they will stand in His very presence. And every word that they've uttered that's been blasphemous, they'll hear it again. Only this time they'll see Him when they hear it. And what a disgrace and a shame that's going to be upon them. And they're not going to stand boldly and arrogantly and proudly as they did in the day when they said it. I remember a time when I boldly and arrogantly used to say, when somebody said, "Where are you headed?" And I'd say, "To hell to have a party with my friends." Oh, how arrogant. Oh, how bold. Not long after I was saved, I was praying one day trying to seek the Lord over some things I was studying in the Scripture. And actually what I was studying is, what does it mean to be humble? And God rehearsed those words to me. Do you remember when you in sin arrogantly said that you was going to hell to have a party with your friends? You realize what I saved you from? Do you realize what I delivered you from? And it broke me again. And I laid on my face at the altar. Even though God had already forgiven me, I told God that day, I apologize and I'm sorry for my arrogant attitude and for my sorry disposition and for my boldness in ignorance that I spoke with. I wasn't ignorant as far as knowledge and education was concerned, but I was truly ignorant about spiritual things. And if God had let me die in the condition that I was in, there wouldn't have been no party in hell. In hell, I would have lifted up my eyes like the rich man, and I would have cried out for mercy, and there would have been no mercy. I'm glad God gave me mercy while I live here upon earth. But He is the judge of the world, and He will judge all men and the secrets of all men's hearts through that person, Jesus Christ. I like the fact that Peter said that He's precious. To me, precious means that which is of great worth and great value, and it's costly and it's highly esteemed. This person that I'm describing to you tonight, to whom we are obliged to come. Do we understand who we've come to? Do we know this one that we've come to tonight? To whom, as coming, Peter said, as unto a living stone. He is called in John 17, eternal life. He's eternal life. If He gets in you, you've got some eternal life going on the inside. How many of you are glad tonight you have eternal life through Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Praise His name. By the way, hallelujah is not a bad word for Baptist either. Amen. What a precious time. What do you mean, preacher? What a precious time just coming to Him. October 25th, 71. Nobody else was interested except my little mom and the Holy Ghost and a host of angels. How do you know a host of angels was interested? Because the Bible said there's more joy in heaven when one sinner repents. More than 99 just persons. We didn't have a newspaper in Success. The nearest newspaper was Houston, Missouri. And it was not in the headlines the next day. Down at Little Success Church, Mike Hutzel got saved. But I'll tell you, it made news in heaven. And the angels shouted. And the angels rejoiced. Not only that I got saved, but they rejoiced when you got saved. And how many of you are rejoicing when you see others get saved in this life? Not only is it a precious time in coming to Him, but it's a precious testimony that you know He's a living stone. You know He's alive. He's so alive tonight. I feel so alive. I'm alive tonight, not because of the life that He's given me, but the eternal life that's living on the inside of me. I'm alive with that tonight. And then Peter gives us some particular truths that I want you to look at with me in verse 5. He said, you're lively stones. You could probably say, boy, preacher, you're lively tonight. I've had guys say, you're really wound up, preacher. You're intense. There's something going on inside of me that I can't help. It's like a fire that's burning, and I've got to let it get out. Somebody said, you're just too overzealous, and you're too emotional. Isn't it funny? We can get emotional at ball games, and we should. And we can get emotional over a good song, and we should. And we can get emotional about a little beautiful child that's born, and we absolutely should. Why can't we get emotional about someone that loved us enough to bear our sins in His body at a tree and shed His blood so we could be set free? Why shouldn't we get excited that He's a living Lord tonight and He lives inside of us? Amen. We ought to be excited about that and happy about it. And so we find that Peter says we're lively stones, we're a spiritual house. Listen to that. And we're a holy priesthood. We're able to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Listen, it's acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. What kind of spiritual sacrifices, Brother Mike? In Psalms 107, verses 21 and 22, David wrote, oh, that men would praise God for His goodness, and that men would sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Have you in this service tonight offered God thanksgiving? Thank you, God, for the day You've given me. Thank You for the air You've let me breathe. Thank You for the food that I've eaten this day. Thank You for the clothes that I wear on my back. Thank You for the good home that I live in. Thank You that You've provided us with sufficient to pay our debts. Thank You, Father, for the hope of everlasting life. And on and on and on we could go tonight for how thankful we ought to be. Thank You, Father, for a pastor that preaches the Word of God. Thank You for a church where the love of God abounds. Thank you for a church family that's online, hundreds and hundreds of people that watch us and worship with us and fellowship, and we hear from people, some we may never see here on earth, but one day we'll meet them in heaven and they'll say, "Hey, I was in your service, you just didn't know it." Hey, boy, you talk about exciting and something to be thankful for. We have much to be thankful for. And then I thought about this. We offer other types of sacrifices. Listen to me carefully. Over in the book of Jeremiah chapter 29, the prophet Jeremiah told the children of Israel, "You're going to be carried to Babylon and you're going to be there for 70 years. And there was other prophets coming along saying, "No, no, God's going to break that." I mentioned some of that last night. Hananiah said, "No, 2 years God's going to break the yoke off your necks, and He's going to bring you home and all the vessels home." And that prophet wound up dying just in 2 short months after he lied to all the people. And then God told Jeremiah, said, "Now write him a letter and tell him that after 70 years, I know the thoughts that I'm thinking of them. Not thoughts of evil, but thoughts of peace. I have an expected end for them." Oh, did you hear what he said? "I have an expected end for them." And then God said, "Tell them this, they can call unto me and they'll seek me and find me when they search for me with all of their heart." Then Jeremiah pins down this, "Call unto me and I will answer thee, saith the Lord, and show the great and mighty things which thou knowest not." And then if you go on and read the 33rd chapter, God said, "Here's what I'll do for you, Israel. In that day I'll cleanse all of your iniquities. In that day I'll wash away all of your transgressions. They have said there's no voice of the bridegroom nor of the bride. There's no voice of joy nor rejoicing in the streets of Jerusalem. But in that day there shall be the praise of the Lord in the city of Jerusalem." Are you listening to me tonight? My friend, when God washes our sins away and our iniquities have been cleansed, there is a call for rejoicing in the Lord. If you can't do anything, you ought to jump up and down and say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." He's a holy God tonight. I'm happy God saved me tonight. Are you happy He saved you? And then you go over in the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Peter, the writer of Hebrews, reminds us that we are to offer to Him the sacrifice of thanksgiving continually from our lips. That is the praise of His holy name. I hear people praise ball players, football stars, basketball stars, baseball stars, country music stars, contemporary artists, gospel groups. And the Bible tells us to give honor to whom honor's due. But isn't it sad that we can give honor to those and be so silent when we come to church? Let the redeemed say so. That's what the Bible says. So tonight, He's a chosen stone. Secondly, He's a chief cornerstone. A cornerstone lies at the corner where two walls come together. And they join, that cornerstone joins those two walls together. They're united. Jesus is the cornerstone that unites the Jew and the Gentile in one body. Paul reminds us that we were without Christ, us Gentiles, you and I. We were without a covenant. We were without promises. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. In all reality, we had no hope. We were them that stood afar off. But Paul said, through Christ, you who were afar off now have peace, because Jesus Christ has reconciled both the Jew and the Gentile in one body. You see how He's called the chief cornerstone? He can unite us together. And He did that at the cross. He did that by one Spirit. And I'm not a foreigner tonight, and you're not a foreigner tonight. You're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and Christ, Paul said, is our chief cornerstone. And this building, this tabernacle, oh, I'm nothing but an old clay jar. I used to be a young clay jar. I used to have black hair on this jar. I used to have all my teeth, all my grinders in this jar's mouth. I used to didn't have to have an extra pair of windows to help me see out of this jar. But over the years, I've lost some of my grinders. Over the years, I've needed an extra pair of windows to help me see. Over the years, the cord of life and its string has been loosed and my hair is turning white. I still feel as good, Matthew, tonight as I ever was. You want to wrestle after church? Thank God He shook His head no. Because I'm not what I used to be. I might think so inside, but outwardly my old man's perishing. Yeah. Oh, but inwardly, yeah, my inner man's being renewed, yeah, day by day. And I'm getting stronger and closer to the crossing day when I'll depart this life. And I'm glad tonight that even though I'm an old clay jar, I have a treasure inside of this earthen vessel tonight. You know what it is? It's called the sweet Holy Ghost of God. Sweet Holy Ghost. Boy, we don't hear the word Holy Ghost spoken much in church. We like to pretty it up with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the Holy Ghost. A fellow said to me one day, he said, "I really believe, preacher, you got the Holy Spirit, but you need the Holy Ghost." I said, "How many of you believes in the Godhead?" He said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Well, you said I don't have the Holy Ghost, but I have the Holy Spirit. Tell me what the difference is." Yeah. And he said, "Well, you know, you get God the Father and God the Son. When you get saved, you get God the Holy Spirit. And then when you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost," he said, "it'll be evidenced by speaking of other tongues." And he said, "Then you really have power." And I said, "So the Godhead is four then?"
Yeah.
And he said, "No, you're confused." I said, "I don't think so." I said, "If there's anybody confused, you're the one that's the termite and a yo-yo." Amen. I'll get off that and move on. This stone that I'm talking about tonight has a prophetical fulfillment. For Moses, he was the rock that Moses smote. For Gideon, he was the rock that he offered upon one day, and the rock, fire came up out of the rock and consumed it. For David, he said, "He was the rock upon which my feet were set and established my goings." For Daniel, he said, "He was the stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands." For the Apostle Peter, one day Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, that spiritual rock that followed the Israelites was Jesus Christ, from whom they drank. Isn't that amazing? Christ was there with them, wasn't he? And then Peter wrote, "He's a precious cornerstone, by whom we are given, who is given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of a divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world." God has given us great promises. Not only is he a prophetical fulfillment filled in this chief cornerstone, but he is the perceived foundation, whom the Bible says is the heir of all things, and by whom God holds together all things in the earth. He's the church stone. In verse number 7, we see that them which believe on him, they learn that he's precious too. Now tonight, he's more precious to me than he was when I first believed. He was precious in that night, but he's growing more precious to me by the hour. He's a believable stone according to verse number 7, but in verse 8, he's a baffling stone, for the Bible calls him a rock of offense. And let me tell you something Jesus said. Whosoever this stone falls on, it'll grind him to powder. But whoever falls on this stone shall be broken. You know what the difference is? The stone falls on them of whom judgment will fall when they refuse to accept Christ as the living cornerstone for salvation. But them who humbly fall on that stone, they'll be bruised and broken, but they'll be born into the family of the living God. And thus he becomes a beautiful stone, because the same is made the head of the corner in our life. So Jesus Christ is the chosen stone. And Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. And Jesus Christ is the church stone. But Jesus Christ is also the comforting stone. And I want you to see this tonight. He comforts us with titles. Look, if you would, with tonight in verse number 9. We are a chosen generation. Look up here at me for just a minute, and those online, listen. I've heard people say, "I'll get saved when I want to." The truth of the matter is, you'll get saved only when Christ calls you.
Amen. Right.
"You have not chosen me," Jesus said, "but I've chosen you."
Yeah.
There are some out there that would try to use that and say, "You see, God's only elected a few." Can I tell you tonight, the Bible teaches me tonight that Jesus Christ gave His life for the whole world.
Right.
All
Amen.
Of the world.
Amen.
And there's not
Amen.
A man, a woman, a boy, or a girl that's living on the face of this earth that the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and the power of God will not someplace in life give them the chance to be saved. You listen to me tonight. Jesus said, "No man can come to the Father except it's given unto him of my Father." But he said, "If my Father calls you and draws you, he will in no wise cast you out." You can be the worst drunk that ever lived and God can save you. You can be the worst drug addict that was ever on the face of the earth and God can save you. You can be the worst pervert there ever was, and God can save you. You name any vulgar, filthy, rotten, dirty sin there is, And God's hand is not shortened that He cannot save you. And His ear is not too heavy that He cannot hear you. As a matter of fact, God says the Spirit is inviting you to come. And the bride, which is the church of the living God, is inviting you to come. And let him that heareth say, come, let us go. I put that let us go in there. But the Bible says, come. And the Scripture says, and whosoever will. Well, that would sure not eliminate some of that theology, would it?
Yeah.
Whosoever will. I said that to one day. He was a Reformed Calvinist, and he said to me, surely you don't believe that God will save everybody. I said, God will save everybody if they'll believe.
Yeah.
I know that not everybody will be saved because not everybody will believe.
Right.
And I am wise enough to know that God in His sovereignty knows who will be saved and who will not be saved. I'm not going to diminish the sovereignty of God. But God said, whosoever will may come and take the water of life freely. And can I tell you tonight, if a man or a woman is sick of sin and tired of sin and tired of living in that dreadful way of life, why don't you give Jesus Christ a try? Why don't you truly and genuinely and sincerely surrender your heart and fall on this stone tonight and let Him become that which bruises your heart to the place that it breaks you and makes you a new creature, a chosen generation. That'll make you the seed of God. And then He says you're a royal priesthood. Think about that. Tonight you don't have to come to another priest. You are a priest and you are a king. You see, listen, how is it so that I'm a king and a priest? Well, go back with me to the Romans for just a minute. Paul was writing that by one man sin entered the world, death by sin, and death was passed upon all men. For that in Adam we all became sinners. You say, well, I didn't sin after the similitude of Adam. Why did God conclude me under his sin? That was the wisdom of God. Because if God concluded us all under Adam's sin, the first Adam, then He would only need to send one more man, the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, and take all of the sins of the first Adam, the creation of that first Adam, and place those sins upon Jesus, who would go to the cross, shed His blood for the remission of their sin, so that in the shedding of His blood we have forgiveness for our sins. And as sin is reigned unto death, even so might righteousness reign unto life through Jesus Christ. You know what reign means? You can't reign unless you're a king. A king reigns over a kingdom. And tonight you and I are in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ when we're born into the family of God. And we're reigning as kings tonight. And then in Revelation chapter 1 verse 5, unto Him that loved us and washed us in His own blood hath made us kings and priests. Priest means tonight I can come directly to the throne of God boldly and get grace and mercy to help me in time of need.
Amen.
What a Savior we're serving tonight. The night that I got saved, I went into the throne room and the Holy Spirit had invited me there, and He quickly ran into the presence of God and said, Mike Hutzel's at the altar. And he's asking for salvation. And Jesus turned to the Father and said, I died for him. My blood was shed for him. And the Father turned to the angel that had the record of my life and said, wipe the slate clean.
Amen.
He said to the angel that keeps the Lamb's book of life, write his name down. All this happens in a quick moment's time. It don't take God no time to do nothing. And when he was done, he turned back and he said, for your sake, son, because he believes in you and receives you, I accept him as well. Now have the Holy Spirit to go back and bear witness with his spirit and indwell him. And let him know we're with him. We'll be with him even unto the end. And we'll come and get him. That night when my sin burden left, I became a king and a priest to God. And from that night to this night, I've still been going in as a priest, offering spiritual sacrifices and praying and making intercession for the Savior that you and me for our work. Aren't you glad you can do that? So He gives us comforting titles, a chosen generation, His seed, a royal priesthood, kings and priests, a holy nation set apart for Him, a peculiar people. That don't mean you're strange. That means you're unique. You're a unique, redeemed of the Lord, precious people. And then God gives us comforting treasures in addition to comforting titles. He called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. You shouldn't tonight worry about whether you're going to succeed or not. You'll just keep your focus on Jesus Christ. There'll be hard days. There'll be heartbreaks. There'll be difficult moments and trials that come. Can I tell you something tonight? God has promised that He'll never leave you and He'll never forsake you. When I studied the book of Job and all that Job went through, and I realized that God challenged Satan when He said to him, have you considered my servant Job? Remember what Satan said? Yeah, he don't have any reason to fear. He hedged with the mouth.
put blessings on everything he does. Take down the edge and let you touch it. His material things, and he'll curse you to your face. And God lets Satan do it. The devil can't do anything that God doesn't allow. That don't mean God produces evil. God has to step back and let Satan move in. But he limits Satan. You say, well, why did God do that? God would never have done that if he could not trust Job. Did you hear what I just said? God could trust Job. He trusted Job that no matter what happened, Job knew how he got everything he got. Sure enough, when all 10 of his kids died, he lost all of his livestock. How did Job respond? He tore off all of his clothes and he humbled himself. He said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. What do you have in general? The Lord gave me my few majors and my nephews. And what do you have in the Israel? I would say that I need something. But I didn't bring anything, I'm not taking anything. You and I need to understand that we didn't have anything either. Look what we've accumulated all these years. And can I tell you something? I was reading A.W. Tozer the other day, and boy, this blessed my heart. Tozer said, of all that you think you possess, you don't possess anything. You say you own a home. And he said, really? He said, you don't own the home. You're paying for it. You're only using it. Because when you die, you're not taking it with you. So you don't possess it, but just for a little while. Everything that you call yours, that you say is mine, it does have a right title for you to own it if you've worked for it and earned it. But the truth of the matter is, those are just things. And Tozer went on to say, when God created the heavens and the earth, and he created man whom he loved, the only thing that reigned in man's heart when God made Adam was God himself. That man had no other love but for God. But it wasn't until, and all these other things that God had created in the world for Adam was for gifts, for Adam to enjoy, because those would not become the love of his heart, because he already had the love of his heart reigning within. But when sin entered the picture, the crowning one that he loved moved out of his heart, and all these other gifts the world has pursued after, and that's what people make the love of their heart. And can I tell you something? Those are fleeting things. Those things will leave us. But Jesus Christ will never leave us and will never forsake us. Can I submit to you tonight, if you want to really enjoy life, make him Lord and Savior and crown him as the glorious one in your life. And look at all these other things as just gifts that you don't possess. You just get to use them a little while. And enjoy them a little while. And then leave them behind. Amen? And go home to be with God. And let the light that God has called us into, from the darkness into the light, let us rejoice in that light. And not only does God give us comforting titles and give us comforting treasures, but I want you to see one more thing tonight before we have an invitation, and that is that God gives us comforting testimony. What is our testimony tonight? That God wants us to show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of that darkness into light. I'm not ashamed of Jesus tonight. Amen. You say, well, naturally, preacher, you've been a Christian now for about 46 years. You've been preaching 41 years. You shouldn't be ashamed. No, I've never been ashamed of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it's the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed to pray wherever I'm at, whenever I need to pray. I'm not ashamed to tell somebody immediately about Jesus. The girls in the bank where I bank, they know that Christ loves them because I tell them He does. They smile at me every time I pull up. They know I'm going to tell them often. Do you know Sherry? That's one of the girls, Sherry. One of those precious loved ones of yours was talking about you the other day. Who was that? I said, his name's Jesus. She looks at me and I say, he said, tell you he loves you. There's a little old boy in there named John, and there's another guy, there's a Russian girl in there. She invited me over to her desk one day, and I sat down at her desk and she said, I just love it when you come in here. She said, I know that Jesus. I said, that Jesus? She said, yeah, he's the Son of God.
I said, "Are you sure?" She said, "I'm absolutely sure." I said, "How'd you find that out?" She said, "That Holy Ghost told me." Oh, I love that girl. She's a Russian girl. And when I go in and I'm sending funds at people, we had one of the schools over at Burn, and we had some funds sent. And I went in there to wire the funds. And she said, "I'm really glad that you let me do this." She said, "I can't tell you." She said, "I wish I could pay for this for you." She said, "It's a joy to just sit with a brother in the Lord and for me to get to observe what God is doing." You know what? We need to realize we have a testimony. And we ought to impact and influence people's lives everywhere we go. Every now and then somebody will do something on the road and I get a little upset. And my wife and I, years ago, we saw a little puppet show that just never left us. It was this man and his woman driving this car, and they're on their way to church, and their names was Herb and Betty. And Herb and Betty has road rage. On the way to church, how about that, Herb and Betty? Yeah. On their way to church, they're talking about how they love Jesus and what a Savior He is. "Look out, you stupid outfit, you almost run into me." And Betty said, "Herb, we're spreading that love." And they went through several scenarios where they lost their cool and lost their temper, but then they reminded each other, "But we must spread that love." I'm glad that sometimes when something happens that's about to cause me to act like Herb, my little Betty says, "Are you spreading love?" And I look at her and I smile. And I tell her, "I love you, Betty." Tonight, as we get a song ready, "He's a Precious Stone." When my mom died, I remember something she said to me one day when I was a child. She said, "I've never had much, but I've made do with all that I've had the best I could." My mom could take the smallest amount of food and feed the most people. I never understood how she did it. Mom never wasted nothing. If we had mashed potatoes left over from supper tonight, we're going to have potato cakes tomorrow night. And if there was potato cakes left over tomorrow night, they're going to turn into pancakes the next morning. We were going to work them all up. Mom just didn't waste. But she said to me, "It'll be your lot to put my things away." And she said, "When you look at my jewelry, I hope you laugh." And I said, "What?" She said, "I hope you laugh." Because she said, "Probably the most expensive piece of jewelry you'll find in my jewelry box will be something come from the Ben Franklin Diamond 10 store that costs less than a dollar." You know, I used to think some of the earrings Mom had and some of the necklaces she had, well, them things were jewels. And I remember when I was putting her things away, and I opened the jewelry box and I picked them up and I saw what they was really made of. I did laugh. And I said, "Mom, the thing that made these jewelry, this cheap jewelry, look so good was not that it had any value. It was the value you had. It was what I saw in you that adorned that jewelry." That jewelry didn't adorn her. She adorned that jewelry. Can I tell you tonight, it's not how expensive of the things you've got on that adorns you. It's the lovely Lord Jesus as you have living in you that adorns you. Let that light shine to the world. Would you do it? Father, I praise you tonight that Jesus Christ is a precious, precious stone. He is a chosen stone of you, God. And He's the chief cornerstone that has joined the Jew and Gentile alike together through Christ by the way of the cross and the power of the Holy Spirit. I praise you, God, for the resurrection of Jesus Christ that has given us this lively hope. I praise you tonight that you're the church stone, a beautiful church stone. But I praise you, too, that you're a comforting stone, that you have given to us comforting titles, comforting treasures. And God, we praise you for this comforting testimony that you've given us. I ask you, Lord, to help us. Let our lights shine in the world, that a world that's lost and in darkness can see the adorning one that lives in us and come to know Him and fall in love with Him. I'm convinced
that the ills of the world would be healed if they would only fall in love with Jesus Christ. Help the Christians here at Bethel, the saints in this sanctuary, to go deeper in their relationship, to fall deeper into their walk with You and their love for You, God, more than it's ever happened to them. Give them such a hunger and thirst for You that they'll pursue You till they're filled. And all those that's watching online, if they're not saved, any that's not saved, please help them to come to a place that they would ask Jesus to forgive them of their sins and invite Him into their lives. And give them the desire to know You and experience You. And them that are saved, help them, God, to grow stronger in this precious Jesus, the precious stone of heaven. Bless each home that's represented tonight in this service. While we stand to our feet tonight, I'm just going to ask Leisha tonight to do as she's done, or Brother Mike to do. As Leisha's done, he's just going to play. And I'm going to ask you tonight, do you love Him? Is He precious to you? Is He such a precious jewel tonight that you'd just come and tell Him how much you appreciate Him? How wonderful He is? How much you want Him to adorn your life? Would you just come to Him tonight and ask Him, draw me, Lord, nearer to Thee. Help me, God. Maybe you want to pray for somebody that you love that needs to be saved. I want you to feel free to come. If you want to be saved, you come. If you want to rededicate, you come. Bring your cares to Jesus tonight. Cast them upon Him. Those of you that are watching by way of online, tonight if you're there and you've never asked Jesus Christ to save you, please, would you not consider that today's the day of salvation? Would you consider that now's the accepted time, and now is when God is calling you to come to receive Christ? Would you just bow your head and your heart right there at your computer? And would you ask Jesus to forgive you and invite Him into your life? I promise you, if you'll do it and mean it, God will save you. And when you do that, please write to Pastor Mike Hoggard and let him know that you've accepted Christ. Let this church help you to grow in your faith and your walk with God. If there's anybody that has ever known Christ and you've backslidden and you've gotten away from God and you've grown cold and indifferent in your relationship, tonight Jesus said if a man had 100 sheep and one of them went astray, would he not leave the 99 and seek that one that's gone astray? You're valuable to the Lord tonight, precious one. God didn't save you for you to wander away. But if it's happened to you, the Master, the Shepherd's looking for you tonight. And He's welcoming you back into His loving arms. And He wants to restore your joy and the salvation of God in your life. Why don't you come tonight if that's you? Why don't you that are watching ask the Lord to restore you, to forgive you, and put you back in fellowship with Him? Whoever's watching or whoever's listening in this audience, if you know you're saved and it's well with your soul, would you be willing to admit tonight you're glad you know this precious stone? Wherever you're at right now, would you take time there in your praying to tell Him how much you love Him and He means to you? Bless You, Jesus. I praise Your holy name. I bless Your majestic, glorious name. I thank You, Lord, for the blessed hope that You have given us in Jesus Christ. I thank You there's a place in Festus, Missouri called Bethel Church. And there's a man of God in this city, my friend and brother in the Lord, Michael Hoggard. I'm thankful, Lord, that You've crossed our paths. I'm thankful for the friendship that we have and enjoy with one another. But above all, I praise You that we're brothers in Christ. As much as I enjoy Brother Mike's fellowship, and I trust he does mine, I'm glad we'll spend eternity together. And this church family that I love, I appreciate them and thank You for them. And I praise You that we'll spend eternity together because of our Savior, Christ Jesus the Lord. And all of those beloved ones that are watching online that I don't even know, I plan to meet them someday, God, through Your grace and through the hope You've given us. Holy Spirit, continue to work on us and deal with our hearts. Draw us close to You, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.